At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hello and welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team behind Have I Got News For You, where we take you through our picks of the news this week when the TV show can't.
We'll be looking at both the serious and not so serious news items and trying to convince each other of which story we think would have been perfect for the show if it was on air.
Which it isn't. But let's introduce ourselves anyway. I'm Emerald Paston. I write on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Jack Harris, the sometimes producer of the show.
I'm Mike Raymond, sometimes series producer of the show.
And I'm Queenie Miller, the picture researcher for the show, which is obviously essential for a podcast.
Absolutely key. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
This is our special one-off episode.
We're doing the election special this week because the main show is off air because of Children in Need. Without Mike.
No Mike this week.
Mike's on holiday. But as is tradition, when I was away, I sent in a voice note and he's also sent us in a voice note to wish us well for the episode. So I think we've got this here to listen to.
Hey guys, Mike. So I'm not with you today for the podcast. I've taken the advice of my Victorian doctor and taken my smog-filled London lungs down to Rye for some rest and recuperation and fresh air. Hope you have a good podcast today. Really exciting to talk about that crazy result. I think everyone's pretty shocked, really. I still can't believe Spurs lost at home to Ipswich either. I don't know where they go from here. I think they need to stick with Ange. But yeah, I'm sure you'll agree. Bit of football fun there. Queenie will love that. No, a great week to do the pod and talk about the election. I think especially as the dust has settled a bit with the UK election, obviously, when we do Have I Got News For You, we film the morning after and it's very raw and sometimes it can be quite hard for people to get a handle on a result. But I think because we filmed on Thursday this week, we had 2 days that sort of handle just to figure out what we were going to say a bit and react a bit. And obviously, Jack, we had Roy Wood Jr. over, who was, oh my, he's just incredible. Fantastic host. Pretty much, I think the whole panel fell in love with him, as did most of the country. He's brilliant. And it was so good having an American voice there. Felt very legit. Did have a bit of fun. Managed to go to the rugby on Saturday, England versus Australia with Roy, which I think was a recommendation from Jack.
Oh.
I think Roy quite enjoyed that. Did make him try some mushy peas. He did not care for them. That was quite fun. And yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to next week getting into the show and getting into starting to analyse Trump. I've been reading the papers today. There's a lot to get stuck into. Anyway, so I hope you guys have a good show. Enjoy taking a piss out of my voice note. No, I wasn't allowed to bring any Warhammer with me on this trip. That was a condition of going away. The only other thing I thought I could do, because I feel a bit bad not being there, we often do a thing called pickups. Anyone who's been to a Have I Got News For You record or TV record will know. At the end of the show, you do pickups. So the producers sat in the gallery will make a note as the show goes along of anything that needs picking up. So it might be someone stumbled over something. There may be a technical issue with a microphone when someone was talking. So we're like, oh, we'll get them to re-say that. So I thought maybe I could help you guys out this week with a few pickups. You can sort of maybe drop me into the show, you know, as and when, so it feels like I'm there. No one will notice. No one will notice that I wasn't actually there. So I've made a list. I'll just read through some of those now. Good one, Queenie. Emerald, that's such a great point.
Oh, quite nice.
I feel like that was genuine.
I don't think you can say that anymore, Jack. I really liked Queenie's round two story. Emerald, your round two story was the best.
Here we go.
Jack, mate, I really don't know what you were thinking about that, to be honest, though, mate. Anyway, that's more than enough for me. Have a great show, guys, and I will see you all very soon.
Well, he can do one, can't he?
That was some speculative bullying.
I think what we've taken from this is that Mike's got a new best friend, Jack.
Aww.
How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, fine. No, it's cool. Don't bother. I've got loads of friends right here, so whatever.
Oh, no.
Round one's post-US election, and the story that Donald Trump has started the transition into the White House for January, having won the US presidential election, described as the closest election ever in the lead-up to it, to the extent where we kind of, part of the reason we didn't do a show in the US is because last election, it took from the Tuesday until Saturday to declare Biden to be president in 2020. So CNN said, okay, we've got to keep that day clear. And yeah, in the closest election ever, we knew by about 1 a.m. over here, pretty much, that he'd won.
Trump's also surprisingly won the popular vote, which no Republican has done since 1988, with the exception of George W. Bush in 2004.
Really?
Winning the Electoral College with all the swing states, the popular vote, the Senate, and now looking most like the House, of a clean sweep of stuff. The polls were so wrong then, because of what happened in 2016. People keep on thinking that the polls can't get it so wrong again, and they just absolutely did.
Can I tell you whose prediction wasn't wrong? Did you see that Mudeng,
the
pygmy hippo, correctly predicted that Trump's going to win?
I then saw a bunch of memes about people wanting to kill Mudeng for that poll, which was it was really funny.
Not only is she an angel, she's also a firm political predictor, which is added to the CV. But we did get misled slightly by the first kind of set of results that were sent out. I don't know if you saw this in Dixville Notch in New Hampshire.
Yes.
No. Tell me more.
Is this the tie?
They had a tie vote. The six residents that lived there voted three votes for Kamala Harris and three votes for Donald Trump.
That's so
awkward. They cast their ballot at midnight. So they were going along with the sort of tightest election ever.
I really want to be in their WhatsApp group.
Wow.
The detail I liked about that is they said it took 12 minutes to count the votes. So I'm assuming the policy they probably should be most focused on is education, because if it's taking you 12 minutes to count six votes, something is going dreadfully wrong there. But yeah, so that was kind of like slightly misled. And then, you know, the fact that the number of searches during the election day itself for did Joe Biden drop out spiked on the day of the election, which you think... not a great sign. Not a great sign.
I think whoever would have won should have gotten to get custody of Joe Biden.
So Trump keeps him in the White House.
Yeah.
It's like a wandering ghost. You get up at night to go to the toilet and you bump into Joe Biden, who's sort of wandering around.
In his sunglasses, yeah.
But I think if anything, that Google search kind of shows the reality of it. Like when you're surrounded by people who are interested in the ins and outs of politics. And it's like, you know, we talk about the Westminster bubble in the UK, and then you talk about similar with Washington over here. People just kind of not that fussed about what's going on. They don't really engage that much with the news as much as we think. And ultimately, it was a vote for change, right? And there was a thing in the Financial Times about the fact that this is like the worst year ever for
incumbents,
right?
Yeah.
The quote was, in 120 years of records, every governing party facing election in a developed country this year lost a vote share, which has never happened. Basically, people are just unhappy with their lot, right? Everything's expensive because of the COVID hangover, because of Ukraine, all that sort of stuff. And people just want to get rid.
I've seen loads of people this week have obviously been sitting around trying to do postmortems of this election. And people have various beliefs as to why Kamala lost and why Trump won. But it seems to be that, like, if someone says, I'm going to give you more money, you're going to be richer. You're going to have more money in your savings account. That's what they heard from Trump. And then Kamala was like, Dick Cheney is brat. And we failed to see why that resonated, why that didn't resonate with voters.
The tricky thing is, right, is that Trump is undeniably...
Come on. What are you about to say?
Unfiltered.
Unfiltered.
I mean, you have to give hats off to him for the fact that he...
No, we don't. We really don't have to do anything like that.
The tweeting about the fact that the Harris campaign raised $1 billion and... they are left with $20 million in debt. Like, so they somehow have overspent.
Oh, no.
And Trump tweeted to say, as Republicans, they should help them during this difficult period because the Republican campaign have a lot of money left over so they can help them out. And it's the sort of poking.
I can't believe you're smirking.
I think, because I just sort of think, there's no stopping him. There's no ability to just kind of make him. I'm doing the Trump hands now, but there's no ability to make him. This is how long I've been over here. Like, he's just a wind-up. He's a wind-up as much as he's a, you know, unfiltered person.
And that's exactly who he won as president. That's amazing.
It's not ideal. It's not ideal. And Trump's now kind of like starting to bring in his team.
Yeah, Avengers Assemble for the shittest film you've ever seen.
Like RFK Jr. on health.
My God.
So his new chief of staff, Susie Wiles, who's been brought in, mm-hmm. they've been dubbed the Ice Baby.
Ice
or
Maiden.
The Ice Maiden, which I actually love.
I really want that nickname. I've got to take it.
What, the Ice Maiden?
I don't think
you'd
get a nickname by asking for it, Queenie.
I would please like the nickname Ice Maiden.
Today they were saying part of her agreement to take the chief of staff role is that she has to have more authority than previous Trump chief of staff on, like, who gets access to the Oval Office. Because there was this thing when he was last in as a president where people would kind of say, like, he would listen to the last person that spoke to him. Mm-hmm. So, like, she has said, because of the fact that he's got, like, Donald Trump Jr. knocking about and, like, mm-hmm. Elon Musk and the UFC owner Dana White and potentially the ghost of Joe Biden kind of just... rocking about. She wants to make sure that the quote was, the clown car can't come into the White House at will, which I quite like.
Wow. The clown car is parked in the executive spot at the White House at the moment. So that's kind of,
they're gonna have
I don't
to
know if she wants to stop more stupid people from going to the most stupid person's office.
We talked a lot about the US,
yes.
But it's always funny to kind of get a little bit of an insight into the UK trying to make the US care about them.
Definitely.
It was very funny to see Starmer and the other world leaders in Europe be like, congratulations, President Trump. We're going to work for a prosperous future. He won't look at that. He doesn't have your notifications on.
Did you guys see that the French President Emmanuel Macron tweeted Donald Trump with potentially some very sneaky shade? He said, congratulations, ready to work together as we did for 4 years with your convictions and mine.
Oh.
Which I think...
for all of his obvious faults, that's pretty sick. That's quite good.
Someone called him a boss-level troll.
Immediately not. I hate it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed David Lammy.
Oh, God.
Did you hear what he said? The reason was that he actually thinks that Trump likes him now.
No.
So he had a dinner with Trump in September.
Oh, he got seconds.
He got second portion of chicken.
Oh,
he got offered. They said, oh, how do you know you're friendly? He said, well, actually, when I went for dinner, Donald Trump offered me a second portion of chicken.
Also, how pathetic does that make, like, Brits look? Like, we're like, oh, they gave me a bit of extra food. Just like
more,
me.
Sir. Please, can I have some more?
And I also really enjoyed the kind of desperation by Downing Street to show the connection between Keir Starmer and Trump. Part of their thing, they said, well, Trump actually really likes winners. That's why he loves Keir Starmer. And they cited the fact that, oh, he didn't get on with Theresa May because he thought she was a loser. So you think, like, already trying to make it seem like Keir Starmer, this, like, winning personality, is quite funny.
He's not even a normal personality.
And the biggest straw clutch that I saw was them saying that Keir Starmer and Donald Trump are, like, kind of made for each other because they were both elected on the basis that they promised to improve the lives of working people. And you think,
that's so unusual.
You can say that's what Trump's MO was, but he is not looking out for your average toolmaker, is he? Like, Donald Trump does like tools, not toolmakers, but tools.
Did you see Emily Thornberry, another Labour MP? She was asked, do you stand by your criticism of Trump as a racist sexual predator? And she said, well, he is. But he is the president of the United States and we need to work with him. So she's towing an even stranger line there.
I don't know if I respect that more or less. I think more for how weird it is.
Yeah, I do love that scrabbling to kind of get on the side. Like the there were a couple of headlines about Labour trying to work out how they can do retaliation tariffs. Because obviously Trump's going in and saying that he's going to put tariffs on loads of exports. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh yeah, man, the White House are quaking in their boots about that. It was honestly front page of New York Times, Washington Post. Yeah. It's been all the talking points on CNN, Fox.
Really?
They couldn't care less.
That was hilarious, but it's time right now for an ad break.
Wow, so smooth.
Looks like he's in the room.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
What a great advert. We're back for round two.
Thank you, voice note Mike.
Yeah, thank you, ghost of Mike.
I hope you stick around for a long time.
Welcome back to In the News this week. As Mike said, we're coming to round two, where we each bring a story from the past week that we think would be perfect for round two of the show. So, Emerald, I'm going to ask you to take us through your round two story this week for us.
Okay, well, I'm going off-piste again because I've actually got an odd one out for you guys.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
So, one of these four is the odd one out. Your options are Harry Styles, Paul Mescal, Jesus' Disciples, and Kevin Costner.
Ooh.
So which one of those do you think is the odd one out?
I'll say that there was a Paul Mescal and a Harry Styles lookalike contest this week.
Was there now?
There was also a Dev Patel one. I know this because that's how I know we're in a recession. What are we doing with that? Who cares about those? Anyway.
I did attend the Timothée Chalamet lookalike competition in New York.
And you didn't win?
Not as a contestant. Just to go and see it.
Which lookalike competition would you enter, Jack?
The Beanstalk from Jack and the Beanstalk.
Nice, thanks, Quinny.
Sorry, that was mean.
As a youngster, I got a lot of Peter Crouch. I once stupidly wore an England shirt in 2006 during the World Cup, maybe was it World Cup or Euros? Mm-hmm. And just had incessant calls of Crouchy, do the robot Crouchy. And I never wore an England shirt again.
Who would your lookalike be?
I don't know. If I did more exercise and spent more time in the sun, maybe Emma Raducanu.
Nice.
Because she's half Asian.
And Queenie, as we've discussed, you'd be King George III, right?
Oh, yeah, George III.
Jack's referring to something we were talking about before we started the podcast, which is I'm wearing red with a lot of lace and a kind of a collar.
Looks very regal.
Kind of really strange Victorian nightgown that looks like what Jack wore for Halloween this year.
Great outfit.
I won't take slander on it. It's great. It's got really good sleeves.
I love my outfit and I like your outfit too. So there we go.
This is sexist bullying, I think.
Yeah, Mike, where's Mike's thing?
Mike's thing.
Jack, that's not appropriate at all. Why would you say that?
He's managed to insert himself. He's managed to mock me from this holiday. To go back to the odd one out.
Yes.
Is this something to do with sandals, maybe? Because Paul Mescal's been in Gladiator 2 where he wears sandals. Disciples loved sandals. Harry Styles, I'm assuming, has worn sandals at some point. And Kevin Costner hates sandals. Only wears closed top shoes.
Okay, so you're saying Kevin Costner. Queenie, what are you saying?
I'm saying the Disciples.
Okay, so Queenie is correct. It's the Disciples. Yeah. All have recently had members of the public pretending to be them, apart from the Disciples, which have had celebrities posing as them. And that's because Rolling Stones member and avid painter Ronnie Wood has become obsessed with Caravaggio and other famous artists.
Relatable.
Right? He's painted his own interpretation of a famous biblical scene, Christ on the Sea of Galilee, and he replaced the Disciples with his bandmates.
I mean, Keith Richards would suit that because he looks like he's been crucified and then buried for 3 days and then reappeared.
He's painted Jesus asleep, Mick Jagger yelling out, Keith Richards and their current drummer at the mast, and himself at the front.
That's pretty rock and roll, dude.
And I guess the fact that he's removed the Disciples must mean he still has sympathy for the devil.
Whoa, that was incredible.
So that's what's happening there. So yes, you're right, Queenie, it's the lookalike craze that's going on amongst Gen Z at the moment.
Awful. There was one
for Paul Mescal in Dublin, which Jack Wall O'Reilly won. He bagged £20 and 3 free pints, which is incidentally all it took for the Reform Party to convince Nigel Farage to become their leader. But yeah, that contest was agreed upon as very good. And they said that the guy could be Paul Mescal's twin. Whereas the Harry Styles contest, the pickings were not so rich.
The thing that I have a problem with is that I struggle to care about the real guy, like the actual famous person. And so caring about someone who looks maybe slightly like him, not really, is a stretch for me.
My favorite Paul Mescal story that came out recently is he had to deny the fact that he would go round and have one night stands. And then after the one night stand, he'd go to the park and then run away from them. One of the things was that he pointed down to the ground and said, "What is that?" And when they looked back up, he was running away.
No way.
It also just doesn't work because they're like, "Well, that's Paul Mescal. And I've just been to his flat. So I know where he is and where he's running back to." So I don't know how, as a rumor, it worked, but it did make me laugh.
Oh, I hope they do a reference to that in the Gladiator movie and have that as one of his moves. The Kevin Costner story, not so fun. A woman lost a lot of money after she was preyed on by fraudsters who pretended to be him and his management team. And they even did a deep fake of him. And she was trying to get a VIP membership to meet Kevin Costner.
I think if you're that desperate to meet Kevin Costner, there's probably something wrong with you, isn't there?
Yeah, maybe that's the issue there.
Thanks, Emerald. That was great.
Thank you very much.
Queenie, what have you got for us?
So, this is a poll of the British public. The headline reads, Brits give verdict on their biggest thrill in life, and the result will surprise you. It's The Mirror.
Oh no, this is going to be so depressing.
Amongst other things, a night of passion with your other half, according to this poll, is less thrilling than an orderly queue, a cup of tea, a perfectly parked car, and actually a myriad of other really boring things. So those are a few, but I'll give you some to guess.
Oh.
Okay.
Getting the washing in just before it rains.
That's a good one.
When someone drops a tray of pints in a pub.
Oh.
And everyone goes, whoa. That is thrilling.
What do they do in the US, Jack?
When that happens.
Yeah.
Oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah, they genuinely are concerned, which is quite sad, isn't it?
Someone getting chucked off a train for not having bought a ticket. I just feel like
wow,
that is quite thrilling, like, when you mean. See it. I know, but it's also exciting.
Feeling excited to sleep in fresh bed sheets was also higher, and equal to the percentage of people who find sex exciting was watching the bin men take out your bins.
Oh, wow.
Who is
Which is kind of voyeuristic. I don't know.
I mean, obviously the people who like clean sheets are going to prefer that over a night of passion.
What about a night of passion on clean sheets? Surely that's their dream.
With the bin men.
With the bin men outside. You've got a view of
fresh cup of tea on the bedside
table. You've got a good sight of the bin men as it's going on. You lock eyes with Mike.
No!
The bin man as he removes the
recycling. Why did you choose his name to be Mike?
I don't know. That's kind of
weird.
Yeah,
that is revealing.
Maybe that's revealed something about me.
Should
we move on? Thanks, Queenie. My story it's sort of slightly American twist to it because it's about an American sports team. But basically, the Pope has been tweeting out recently hashtag Saints, which is linked to the New Orleans Saints NFL team. So he keeps on tweeting stuff about Saints, as in the Saints connected to the Catholic Church. Lots of the New Orleans Saints fans are then very happy about the fact, whenever you do the hashtag, it comes up with a little fleur-de-lis, which is their symbol. So he's been tweeting stuff like the hashtag Saints are precious pearls. He described them as poor, meek, merciful, hungering, which if you're a Saints fan, they've had like a terrible start to the season and they've been on this big losing streak and they like sacked their coach last week. But then he's done all these tweets and they actually won yesterday. So they got essentially the papal blessing. And that's the thing that's driven them to a win yesterday.
Wow.
Who's giving an iPhone to the Pope?
I don't think he's gone near an iPhone in a long time. And the reason I think this is because actually it reminded me of a story from a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember this, where the Pope's Instagram likes started to become public.
Oh, no.
And he liked this very scantily clad Brazilian model. On his Instagram account.
The man of the people.
And,
man of the people.
It was up for a while. People noticed it. And my favourite thing was that when that happened, her management company said that she'd received the Pope's official blessing.
Oh, my God.
Which is great. But it got me onto a very quick game that I want to do, which I've called Pope or Nope. And the question I'm going to ask you is, have these things been blessed by a Pope or have they not?
I love it.
How far back are we going?
We're going as far back as we need to.
Okay.
It could get historical.
Nope. Okay. Firstly, an amusement park. Has that been blessed by a Pope?
Mm. I'm going to say Pope on this one.
I'm going to say nope. I think he would think people should be spending their time in a church, not in a park.
No, the answer is Pope.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was an amusement park in Italy. Basically, a nun who lives in the amusement park, which throws up more questions than answers. We can't get to it.
She's in like the crazy kind of
like, she serves like the LGBT community around there, but she lives in the amusement park. I don't know. And he went there and he had a visit and he blessed a statue that was there. And so, yeah.
I didn't know you could be an amusement park nun. I'm going to change my whole career.
That's kind of the dream.
Pope or nope, coffee.
I'm going to go nope, because it's a devilish substance that can be abused.
Are you thinking, Queenie?
I'm going to say Pope, because I reckon if an Instagram like is a papal blessing, then I think putting something into your shopping cart online is a papal blessing.
Okay, the answer is Pope.
Woo-hoo!
And we're going back into the history books for this, because when it originally arrived in Europe in 16th century, clergymen said that basically coffee was satanic. And then Pope Clement VIII took a taste, loved it, joked about the fact it should be baptized, got a blessing. Then coffee was everywhere in Italy.
No way.
Oh, so he was being ironic and then it was blessed.
No, he loved it. He was like, it's great.
Oh.
We shouldn't say it's satanic. He blessed it, essentially. Pope or nope, Pokemon.
Absolutely Pope.
Nope, he's Team Rocket all the way.
Well, the answer is Pope. In 2000, John Paul II blessed all the Pokemon and their trainers. And their trainers.
Pokemon.
Last one, Rod Stewart's jacket.
Rod Stewart's jacket.
Pope or no?
Probably Pope, right? Well, I bet Rod Stewart owns like an old jacket that a Pope has blessed.
I'm going to say nope on the account of two camp. What?
To camp for the Catholic Church?
Catholic.
All right.
I don't know what they're into apart from Brazilian models.
Rod Stewart's jacket, made that one up, obviously. Oh. I've been got to by Rod Stewart's PR people. They got to me. They needed a mention. But Rod Stewart jackets hasn't, but we just love Rod Stewart. Okay, that is all around two stories. So we need to work out a winner. Queenie, who are you going for?
I'm going to go with Emerald because I have nothing really quite mean to say about Jack, so I'll move on. But I think it is very impressive to have come up with an odd one out, and I've never done a little game for mine. And it slots in a lot of bitty stories that I think we might have bootbowed, which means off the back of a bigger story.
Mm. Emeralds?
I'm going to say Queenie because I do feel like there was a little game in there. And also I can just imagine the panel really enjoying guessing what things British people find thrilling.
Yeah, I'm also going to go for Queenie for that reason. I think it's like a typical panel chat. They love that sort of stuff. So, well done, Queenie.
Yay.
Which means you host the start of the next series.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I think we've got a note from Mike for the end of round two.
Okay, so the voting's done. Well done, Queenie. You've won the show this week. Well done, Emerald. You've won the show this week.
I'm so prepared.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. You haven't won this week.
How did he know?
I really do prefer voice note, Mike.
Yeah.
Way more efficient.
Thank you for listening to In the News This Week.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us there using the hashtag HignifyPod or emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here when we return again for another series in the new year. So say goodbye, everybody. Bye.
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 Where's Mike?
Oh, he should have recorded a bye.
I thought my impression was quite good.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
Bye. See ya. Au revoir. Is anyone still there? Just me talking to myself.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.